for a while. And by the way, Miss Pat, were you waiting on Brother Dale to give that testimony? Is that the one we were waiting on? No, I'm not talking about that testimony. I'm talking about the anniversary. She's going, anybody got a testimony? Anybody? And Dale's over there going, hey. I was just trying to help him, that's all. Hallelujah. Anyhow, been on the subject of worship, and I want to try to get a little bit deeper into it today and finish up on what are some of the characteristics of worship and what are some hindrances to our worship. I think if we think about what I talked about this morning before we even started the praise and worship, when we think about how good God's been to us, worship ought to just erupt out of us anyhow. We just ought to be going. You know, have you ever just been walking down the road and go, God, I just thank you, you know? And you have those days where things just feel like everything's awesome and, you know, it just bubbles out. Well, you know, if we could keep in mind, particularly when things aren't going like that, that we ought to be letting it bubble out. The situation might not be changing right that second, but our attitude towards the situation would probably change. And then we'd have a better attitude towards it. We'd bring God into the situation, and on the situation, we're giving him praise and honor and glory and talking his word, and it'll turn things around. It's real easy to be negative and talk negative about this and negative about that. It's a whole lot more to make a conscious decision that I'm going to look at this thing differently, I'm going to talk about it differently, and I'm going to move forward with it. I had the opportunity to do that yesterday. And last night, Kim goes, print off for me, if you would. Said, me and Dylan haven't had our updated insurance card for the vehicle because we download those offline and all that. And pretty much as long as you got a card with the number on it, they can call in and tell if you were to get pulled over, you had an accident or something like that, they would be able to tell. But, you know, Kim likes to have all her up-to-date stuff. She's got, you know, these little folders with everything in it, and, you know, she's itemized and all that. And, you know, if something happens with me, I go, I got one of them things somewhere. I don't know where it's at, but you can look her up. We got it. And if not, just call me in and we'll bring you one. You know, that's me. I just don't, it's not as important to me. But I go to look it up, and when I do, I'd forgot my login number, and I'd forgot my password because I hadn't been online in so long. So I get Kim to get me the policy number because I got to have that to get all my information. Well, the first thing that pops up, it says, you have not been insured with our company for the past 6 months, or 6 months or more, in bright red letters. It wouldn't let me enter in. And I'm going, my Lord, Dylan was almost, and you know, if the Lord was watching him yesterday, and I go, all this stuff, and I go, and this thing's telling me, I go, I know I got insurance because I pay for it annually and just kind of set it in there and let it go. I ain't told Kim this yet, as y'all can tell by the leer, by the leering eyes. Now, what's the outcome of this story? Well, the outcome of the story is I wake up this morning, and after I've done my devotional time and all that, I check my email. When I check my email, I've got an email from Geico saying that there was a problem with the information that we gave you and you're entering in. I go, well, I knew I had me some insurance. So they were I'm getting nervous now. I told Kim last night, all I said last night when I saw the red letters come up, you haven't been insured in 6 months or more, was I go, they wouldn't let me print them off tonight. I'll have to call them in the morning. I wouldn't go in there right before bedtime. wasn't no sense in getting nervous. Amen. But see, the tendency is when we have stuff like that happen, we're going to think the worst. And we don't want to be thinking the worst. We want to be thinking, surely God's covered me. here somewhere, right? And he had, because if I hadn't have had all of that, we were, you know, we hadn't had any issues happen. But, you know, we got to use wisdom and do all the things that that God's called us to do. And but we look at the situation in a different way. You know, that the enemy will come on so strong with that pressure, like, you know, what are you going to do? And just get you, when you feel like that peace has left, you know, you're in a good mood and, you know, everything's peaceful and everything's going on, and all of a sudden something comes and tries to drain that peacefulness from you. That's when, right then, when you feel that feeling, is when you need to make sure you bear down. Now, listen, the best thing is just to bear down all the time, confess the word all the time. But even when you do that, stuff still happens. But it's a whole lot better to face it if you've been confessing and believing all along and speaking that word over your life, to realize that thing has come on you, to try to shake it off. But worship is one of the best ways to just shake that thing off. Say, Lord, you know what? I am not going to let this thing get the best of me. I just worship you, praise you, magnify your name. I thank you that you meet all my need according to your riches and glory, that what the enemy meant for bad, you'll turn around into good. And you just start confessing a bunch of word over your life, and I'm going to tell you, that thing that's tried to attach itself will lift. You know, things, the enemy tries to sometimes hit us with things that are, he tries to make them and embellish them that they're a lot worse than they really are. And if we know the outcome, we know we win, right? So if that's the case, then we don't let it get us down. So we talked about that it's not a question of if we're going to worship or not. We're going to worship something. I heard Pastor Philip preaching a pretty interesting message this week. He was filling in for Pastor Callahan. And as I was listening to it, I'm like, that's good. Don't know if I'm all the way in on this one, but that's good. But he was talking about that Jacob had a period of time, even after he's become Israel, that the blessing wasn't operating in his life like it was previously, because some things had kind of entered into his life, like Rachel and her father's household idols and those things. And I'm like, well, I had never thought about it that way. I got to tell you, he stretched my thinking. But there are things that we can allow to creep into our life. And I think the point that he was trying to get across, which I can go with him there, if there's anything that we worship and adore and love more than we do God, including our spouses and anything else that we have in our life, then things aren't going to go right. And we're going to get robbed out of our blessing for not putting first things first. God comes first. We can't even love our spouse with everything that we have and how we're supposed to love them if we do not love God the way we're supposed to love God. And that's kind of where he was going with it, that how much God loved Rachel. And, you know, Rachel comes to him and goes, I haven't had any children. And how frustrated he was to say, well, you know, I'm not God. You know, what are you crying to me for? I'm not God. But you know, he wanted everything he could do to make her happy. And then comes along Joseph, you know, and boy, he's happy. He's not just happy for him. He's happy for her. And cause he's happy for her, he's happy with him. And, you know, of course he showed favoritism because Rachel was his favorite. And therefore Joseph was his favorite, because Rachel finally got what Rachel wanted. And I'd never thought about Rachel that way. I think I had Rachel on another level there and Jacob. So it has stretched my thinking a little bit. But the point is, God comes first. And that's what we worship. That's what we adore. And then every other thing falls into place. We talked about different ways to worship God. We'll talk about that again. Gave you several scriptures on what reverence is about. I don't think that I ran these scriptures yet, but I'll try to get Dylan, if you could do me a favor and go go downstairs and run about 15 copies of these. And I want to give these are all scriptures on different ways to worship God and what the Word says about worship. It's 3 pages of all of it written out with the scriptures. And I think it'll be very helpful to you for 4 pages. No, that's as long as it's all scriptures, that's right. So 4 pages, and that's not exhaustive list, but that's a pretty intensive list that talks about all the different ways to worship God and the different ways that the word for worship is used, Old Testament and New Testament, so that you can have that for you and you can see what the importance of worship is, that we worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Then we got to John 4. Looking at verse 23 and 24, talking about how God was looking for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers, and true worshipers are those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have to worship God. God's a spirit. If we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him by our spirit. That was a problem that Old Testament believers had. Old Testament believers, every one of those weren't filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the only people in the Old Testament that was filled with the Spirit of God was prophets, priests, and kings. Okay? So they were filled with the Spirit of God, but the normal everyday lay person was not. So the only way they could relate to God was from soul man, head knowledge, to spirit man. That's not the same as spirit to spirit. He said, there'll be a day when I'll take that old stony heart and I'll turn it into a flesh heart, and it'll be the spirit where you can worship my spirit that resides on the inside of you. Second Chronicles says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him. So you know what? How does He even know that we're fully committed to Him? He knows that we're fully committed to Him when we worship Him. And when we give Him glory, and when we give Him honor, and when we have a situation happen in our life, we see His Word, and we stand on His Word, and words what comes out when something happens. I've shared with you before, when you want apple juice, you squeeze an apple, and apple juice comes out. You squeeze an orange, and orange juice comes out. What happens, what comes out of us when we get squeezed by life? What comes out of the Christian? Well, we can tell what's in there by what comes out of our mouth when we're getting squeezed. You know what I mean by squeezed, right? When the pressures of life and this world that we live in come on you and you get squeezed, what comes out of your mouth? I know what comes out of a lot of people's mouths. I'm not talking about this group, but I'm talking about, you know, I'm not of this world, but I live in it. And I hear what other people say when they get squeezed. There are people, celebrities and movie stars and musicians and all these people that people put on a pedestal and stuff like that, and some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth sometimes, and you thought, you know, I thought that was a pretty bright person till they opened their mouth. And, you know, so you can tell when a person gets squeezed what they're made of. And you know, we need to make sure that we're full of God and the things of God and the Word of God. And, you know, we're without excuse. We know that. We know that we don't live our life by bread alone. We don't live our life by Little Debbie's and Hostess Twinkies and steak and chicken and eggs. And hey, we live our life by the Word of God. Our mind is renewed and transformed by the Word of God. The only way that we will change a situation or circumstance in our life is the Word of God. Now, that alone ought to be worth praising and magnifying and worshiping Father God, because that is the answer to everything that we're looking for. When we worship in spirit and truth, we got to have our mind involved. We've got to have a pure heart. We can't be hypocritical. Our worship can be no higher than our knowledge of God. We talked about that a true worshiper is the opposite of a false worshiper. You can't fake it. You can't fake really worshiping God. It's either there or it's not. And you can say, well, sometimes I worship God and I didn't really feel like it when I started. Is it there? Oh, yeah, it's there. But you got to start somewhere. We live in this body, and sometimes we have our emotions. God made us emotional creatures. That's not a bad thing. But we don't live by emotions, and we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes we don't feel like praising. Sometimes we don't feel like going to church. Right? But we know that if we get there, we know that all we got to do is do our part. Have you ever not been feeling great and the enemy's attacked your body? And you're sitting there debating, should I go or should I not go? Yeah, well, I know I should go. And then you get there and you get into the praise and the worship and that thing just lifts off of you. And you're like, man, I am so glad I went because I was feeling bad. And during the worship, man, that headache, bam, it was gone right in the middle of the praise and the worship. Well, you know why? Because when you go into the throne room of God, which is what we do when we worship, the enemy can't follow you there. The enemy can't go there. We can go there, but the enemy can't. That's only a place reserved for his, and we're his. There's another scripture and talking about that he's looking for true worshipers. He said, their hearts are with me. Their lips are with me, but their hearts are far from me. Well, you know what? It can't just be on our lips. It has to be from our heart and with a pure heart. We talked about who can worship God, whosoever will. If you've come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can worship God. Where you can worship God, anywhere, when, anytime, 24/7, unobstructed access to the throne room of God. Deserted island with no Bible with you. You can worship Him. You can even do like Tom Hanks and get you a soccer ball named Wilson. And have a friend while you're out there and still just say the word. Amen. I don't think he was saying much word out there, though. He was just talking to Wilson. I think he had issues. Yeah, he's a little crazy. So what happens when we worship? You know, when we worship, we partake of the river of the Spirit of God that's open to flow in and through our lives. I don't know about you, if he says that I'm going to give you rivers of living water flowing, that, you know, sometimes we're not feeling that, are we? Well, we can begin to worship and understand and realize that we have those rivers of living water that are flowing in us and throughout our entire lives. And it's important that we know that. You know, we talked about that with God, we're to be preoccupied with God. When we're worshiping God, we shouldn't know anything else is going on. We read about where they dedicated the temple to God, and they made all these sacrifices, and they're worshiping. And as they do, the Bible says that the priests could not stand in the temple, which means if you can't stand, you do what? You fall down. People go, that ain't in the Bible. That old falling out in the spirit ain't. Well, they fell all out in the temple, all right? So, and it's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New, but that's one spot that we see. And you know what? They couldn't see, the Bible says they couldn't see anything else for the glory of the Lord. Well, that means when we worship God, we shouldn't be able to see anything else, or we shouldn't be concerned about anything else that's around us. Because all we see is God. We're preoccupied with God. We're preoccupied in worshiping the Father. We're preoccupied and giving all of ourselves to Him at that point in time, and we don't even know anybody else is around. See, we can do that with other things. There's sometimes if I'm watching something on TV that I really like, Kim will tell you that I don't know that she's there. She can even be talking to me, and I'm just like, that's noise over there because I'm preoccupied. And she pretty much has to get my face like this. So if she's over here and she's talking to me, I'm looking like this. And she'll pretty much have to say, because I can tune it out, boy. But I'm used to that. I had kids. My kids go all through the house, and they bring other kids. And the house is like, people come to my house. Casey and Alex first got married, and Alex is so quiet. You know, he just, They wonder why Caden ain't talking a whole lot more than he is. Well, his daddy's a grown man. He don't talk either. And they were dating, and Casey was always the quietest of my three. And then she gets together with Alex, and they would come. And when they got married, they would come over to visit. And then after about 2 hours, they'd go, phew, we get to go home. It's quiet there. And but I don't mind that. Because I one time Kim and the kids went somewhere, and I was trying to study. I'd turn the TV on so I could have some noise because I was so used to it. I'm like, how can you study in the quiet? I got to have some noise. We can allow those things. If we can tune other stuff out, then we can come to church and we can be at home and we can be in the car and we can tune everything else out and zero in on God. Amen. You know, I do my devotion lots of times sitting at the kitchen table, and I do it on the computer. Well, I don't tell Kim that I'm doing that I'm actually in the Word right now or anything like that. And sometimes the kids will come down and I'm sitting there trying to study the Word, but I want to give them my attention. I go and get off too, and most of the time I'm up before they are, so it doesn't matter. But I'll be sitting there studying, and Kim wakes up and she goes, well, what's the weather like? Let's turn the TV on and see what the weather's like. And then I get that thing going, when somebody's talking to you and you think you're supposed to be responding. So I'm sitting there reading. I'm going, she goes, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? But see, I can do that. I want to give people attention, but if I can focus in like that, in my devotion time, I can focus in on God like that anywhere. I can be in the middle of a meeting and my heart and my mind be on the things of God, and I'm not hearing anything that's going on in that meeting because I'm hearing God. Right? Well, if we can do that, why don't we purpose to do that, particularly when we come to church and we're in that atmosphere? Or not just at church, but everywhere we are. So, we're on that job that where somebody's, maybe not doing something they're supposed to be doing or something like that. Well, how are you gonna deal with that? Maybe the Lord will start speaking to you what needs to happen, with that person, or Lord, I need some help because this one, if I didn't have the power of God on my life, might really try to get on my nerves. How are you gonna deal with that one? Now, can't anybody here tell me that you don't have people on the job that can rub you the wrong way? Because if there's more than one person there, somebody there can rub you the wrong way, right? And you have that opportunity. But the Spirit of God can talk to you right through that, even through some of that crazy stuff that goes on. And another good thing is to think about, if you think that's crazy, you ought to hear about some of these other places and some of the other stuff that goes on. There's nothing uncommon to what you've experienced, believe me. We need to be loyal to God. We need to trust God. We need to love God. We need to, if His Word says it, we need to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. That's one of the ways we can worship Him. We can say, I know what the Word says, but, well, that ain't worshiping. That's making excuses why you can't do what God's told you to do. In counseling, most people that come to counseling already know what God's Word says. They just don't like it. They know what the Word says. They just don't want to do it. You don't know how they talk to me. You don't know how what they do. You don't know. Okay, what should you do? Well, I know what the Word says, but. No, if you know what the Word says, then do it. Do it. We've got to be hearers of the Word. We've got to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. If the Word says it, that's the way we ought to do it. And we can't catch ourselves making excuses for why we don't. That's how we know that our worship is true. Our worship is true because we do what the Word says, because that's what the Word says to do. Well, the Word told me to address it. Well, address it. But did you speak the truth in love? I've heard people preach to me, trying to get me saved, that would preach about hell, and I thought they wanted me to go there. I didn't think they was loving me at all. I thought they were yelling and screaming at me and telling me how sorry I was. Well, you know, you can use the word to describe man's condition and still get across the love of God to people. You know, could be, you're going to die and go to hell. Or, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's good news. All of it's good news. Even when God's working on our personality and working on our life and doing these things in our life, it's good news. Hey, sometimes it ain't fun. You know, some people go, I'm going to improve my look. I'm going to go and have surgery. Okay? I'm going to be enhanced all over. Now, let me tell you something. When you get cut, it hurts. Right? But people will do that for the end result. But isn't it amazing that sometimes the Word of God's cutting and doing surgery and all that kind of stuff, and we don't want to go through that. But we'll submit ourselves to physical pain. Well, all my teeth over here on this side, and believe me, I know something about that. All these teeth over here on that side, when I smile, got that thing. I bit on a piece of steak and had a temporary tooth in there, and the temporary filling fell out, and I forgot. Put me a piece of steak over there, and it broke off even with the gum. And then Kevin's stepsister was working for this dentist that I didn't know was a quack. And they said he couldn't speak a word of English. And so he's, I think what he was asking me in Spanish was, what's the problem? And I point over there like that. This man gets his knee in my chest with this pair of pliers. He don't like cut and, you know, get the, he goes through my gum with them pliers and pulled that root. I bet that root felt like it come out of my eyeball. Like I'm sitting there going. And then people go, what are you going to do about that tooth? Nothing. Ain't nobody touching that no more. But then I'd smile and I look in the mirror and I go. So you know what I decide? I'm going to go get me an implant. But they got new ways to do implants now. You know how, you know what the new way is? Instead of putting you to sleep and you wake up and you got an implant, I go in there. The guy takes, not the same guy, different guy. Guy takes this thing, puts it in my jaw right there, takes a hammer and an awl. Tink, 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 tink. Yeah, that's the new way to do it. Is jam it on through the gum. But hey, I looked pretty when we was done. And no more toothaches. We'll put up with that. But the Word of God will say, you know what? You need to get it straight in your life. This is an area where you really need to get it together. And we'll go, I know what the Word says, but. No, it can't be that way. That's not the true, that's not being loyal, that's not trusting, that's not putting all of our confidence in him, that's not faithfulness. You know, he's done all this other stuff for us, and he's got another area where he's trying to make our, we're to be perfected, be perfect just as I have been perfect, the Word says. So even though we'll never reach perfection, we're to strive for perfection, that we want to be better at this thing, we want to be more like Jesus, we want to be able to do. If that's the case, we got to be a doer of the Word. It's important that we're in worshiping, we recognize our total dependence on God. And if we're going to acknowledge my total dependence, that means that if he tells me something, I ought to know that's what I ought to be doing. If any man or woman lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. So we can't say, Lord, what does the Word say on this? And the Lord says, the Lord thy God says, bam, and gives you the Word. And you go, okay, Lord, do you have another word? I've done that. Got called to preach. I'm just now getting saved. I was getting saved like 1981. Been saved like 9 months. Bought a new Bible that day. Man, we had this awesome service at a 12 Steps program where my uncle and a bunch of guys went to preach, and I went with them. It was on a Halloween night. And man, we're having church. God's moving in that place, and the Spirit of God moved all over me. And I go, Lord, I know that I've got a calling on my life, and I just want to do what you want me to do. And I tore the plastic, while I was in the service, tore the plastic off the Bible. And I said, Lord, I'm going to open this word up. And when I do, I want you to show me what you want me to do. I turned that thing, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach thy word, be instant in season, out of season. I go, bam, close it up. I go, no, Lord, I meant like, you know, you're going to teach me how to play an instrument, or you know, I get to shake people's hands when they come in the door. No, no. Now, remember, I just opened it up. I go, okay, Lord, I'll give it another whirl. I must have stopped too quick when you were trying to show me. Open the Bible back up again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It wasn't like it was wore out to that spot. Brand new Bible. And so then you'd say, well, that don't mean anything. That's the only way you know. Well, remember, this is going on while a guy's standing up there preaching. And so I close my Bible up, and I go, Lord, surely this is a mistake. That ain't the way you do it. I'm not going to put a fleece out before God. And the guy preaching stops and says, Butch, the Lord just told me to tell you whatever it was he just told you is what he wants you to do. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, I think I was on the wrong chapter. Right? Because, hey, there ain't no way. I didn't think I could preach, because every time I thought about what God had done for me, I would just cry. I would cry. I couldn't even give up and hardly give a testimony, because I was just so grateful that I wasn't going to hell at that point. Right? So, you know, I had no idea how, and I didn't tell anybody about it, including my wife, who I later met. And we're married already, and I'm working a job. We got Casey on the way, and I'm crying at work, and the Lord says, call so-and-so. And I go, Lord, I thought he was strange. He was a Pentecostal guy going to a denominational seminary, and he looked like Abe Lincoln, and I just thought him and his wife and his kids were just a little strange. And I go, but if you want me to call him, Lord, I will. So I call him up. I go, hey, man, I'm sitting here reading my Bible and praying. The Lord told me to call you. And he goes, well, I don't have no idea why the Lord wants you to call me, except he's very proper. He didn't say it like that. And he goes, but I tell you what, I'll pray about it. And you and your wife meet me at Hardee's tonight. So me and Kim go there. And we get to the table. He goes, man, I've prayed all day. He goes, and I can't get anything. And then he looked at me, and he goes, have you been called to preach? And I hesitated, and Kim looked over and was like, have you been called to preach? Because she wasn't going to marry no preacher. And I go, yeah, I have. And then Kim's like, didn't tell me about that either. So he goes, I believe the Lord wants you. There was no mistaking in the way my life unfolded. When you've been called, there isn't anybody that would want to be called if God wasn't in it. Mark that down. If God ain't in it, you don't want to do it. So you ain't going to make that up. And if you do, it's not going to be comfortable. It just isn't. So we have to be totally obedient. Totally obedient. I don't know why I'm on that today. What are the qualities of somebody who is going to be a true worshiper? Well, a worshiper is somebody who knows the ways of God. God's a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. Therefore, you and I should be givers. We should give of ourselves. We should give people love. We should give God our finances. Whenever we're able to help, we should help. We should just have a giving spirit. Whatever we can do for people, we ought to be able to do that for people. And you know what? If you get to the point where you can't do that for people anymore, and in a good way, or you think that they're taking advantage, and if you don't feel like you can do it and have a good heart about it and your attitude's not right about it, God said He loves a cheerful giver. Right? So we need to be a cheerful giver. If we can't continue to do it cheerfully, then we ought to find a different way to do it. Right? But God's a giver. So if we're going to have that type of a spirit when we worship, it's going to be involved giving. Not only is it going to involve giving, the scripture talks about that we see in the word where people weep. That's a part of what happens. That's something that you can see that characterize worshipers. Because you know what? When you got something that's heavy on your heart and you take it to God and that peace and joy just floods your spirit while you're worshiping, sometimes you can't help it. The fountain just begins to flow. That's okay, even for guys. It's okay that just to let it go. Because God said, look, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Why would I ever be ashamed that the Spirit of God moved on? And I know we, you know, us guys grew up with that, be a man now. Shut those tears up. You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. My dad could give you something to cry about. Sometimes I'd start crying ahead of time because I knew that he was going to give me something to cry about. And he goes, no, now. I can give you something to cry about. So sometimes we grow up with, you know, that it's not okay to do that. It's not okay to show our emotions. If there's ever a place that it's okay to show that you're tender, is before the Lord. Amen? And that is a characteristic of a worshiper. When, you know, if you hadn't got in there and dug real deep and got to the place where you've done that in a while, you might ought to dig a little deeper. We see in the Word where, you know, Mary Magdalene came in and wept all over and kissed Jesus' feet. Well, you know, if we haven't entered into the kind of worship where we felt like we were at the feet of Jesus and we were loving on Him like that and not worried about what anybody else thinks. And look, I grew up in one of those denominations where we did the foot washing and all that kind of stuff. I can't say that I ever enjoyed that. I mean, I love y'all, but, you know, if the Lord tells me to wash your feet, I will. But y'all got soap at the house, ain't you? Yeah, and don't wear sandals that day, would you? Get them good and clean. No, no. We grew up with that, but you know what? We should. Have that spirit about us, that not only do we have that attitude towards Jesus, but that we would have that love for any of God's creatures. That we, you know, and I, when I think about that, I think that we just want to love on them to the point of taking care of people. You know, after she came and broke that alabaster box and, you know, cried and wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. She was worshiping, and Jesus honored that. And He said, you know what? I'm going to honor that to the point that as long as there's humankind on earth and as long as they're reading that book, as long as they're reading that word, they'll know who she was because of this act that she's done here. Because you know what? There was nothing beyond her to do for her Lord. Now, of course, the religious folks were saying, oh, do you know how much money that perfume was worth? Are you really going to waste all that? You could have sold it and given it to the poor. Just like the guy interviewing Creflo Dollar. What kind of car you got? A Rolls? Well, why don't you sell it and give it to the poor? And he said, what do you drive? Some kind of Toyota. And Creflo goes, well, why don't you sell that and give it to the poor? See, it's all relative. It's where you're at. It's where you're at and what you got. Are you willing to give that to God? On the way to church, Dylan and I and Courtney were listening to Pastor Philip preach. Man, God spoke to his heart about phase two of his building. The guy's pretty much sold everything he's got. You know, somebody, they bought an RV not long ago. They've been traveling in their Bamath RV. He sold his RV. I knew Dr. Bumpus got an RV, but I didn't know that that was the RV. Pastor Philip sold his RV into Dr. Bumpus so that he could travel. He's got Jesus Inside Prison Ministries all over the side of that RV. And, man, he's all excited that what God's doing for him. They have the opportunity, you know, the Jesus house that he has for people that are transitioning out of prison into work life. They've got an old nursing home that they've purchased, and they've renovated the nursing home. Now they have the opportunity to buy the nursing home. It's up for sale, and they're in process of doing that. Got an email from him today. He's in Lagos, Nigeria, preaching in prisons where before they wouldn't even let you in the prison. But Dr. Bumpus has got to go there, and now they've developed prison ministry. In Africa, nobody see you in prison, but you can now. Pastor Phillips said they've been giving away laptops and RVs and cars, and he had a truck that somebody sold. Nice truck, too. Saw it was a Ford pickup. Man, he sowed that thing into somebody. God's told him, he said, I want you to, he was preaching, and the Lord said, I want you to give away to this church all the chairs in your sanctuary and get ready for your new ones. He goes, well, Lord, what? He's preaching, having a discussion with the Lord. He's going, Lord, what are we going to sit on? He goes, I didn't ask you what you're going to sit on. I told you to give him the chairs. And the Lord said, so he gets up there and he opens up the Bible and he goes, I want you to turn in your Bibles. And he said, and the Lord said, Philip, he's going, I'll get with the pastor after service, Lord. He said, so turn in your Bibles. He goes, Philip, do you want any anointing on today's message? He goes, Pastor so-and-so, the Lord told me that I'm to give you all the chairs. Now, that church just erupted. Now, this is Pastor Phillips' used stuff, which isn't bad stuff. But to some people, the old stuff is new stuff to them. And for somebody, you know, just starting out and all that kind of stuff, they just got blessed with 200 and something chairs. But Pastor Phillips getting ready to do phase two in that building of where which was an old bar, but is in the middle of town right across the street from the state, all the State Department buildings and the state Senate office or something like that, right there. It's right there. And it was a big thing, a rock there. And they're like, who would want to buy that property? All it is a big rock. But they bought the property. And when they bought the property, they've now beat out all that rock. And when you come down the hill, winding into downtown Frankfort, first thing you see is that big old church off to the side with the steeple up there, and they're getting ready to knock the top off of that, and they're going to do something there, and they're building a parking area in the back. And they've done, he said, look, he goes, I want you to get your people in the mind of what we're going to do in phase two. Get rid of the carpet, paint the walls, decorate it like I've given you in your heart for phase two so the people can get ready for phase two, and get rid of them chairs and get the other chairs on order. And the other chairs are on order, paid for, and they're coming. Getting ready to get rid of the old and get ready for the new. If we're not worshiping God like that, then you know what? We won't ever realize what it is that God's wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives. And we better be ready to give. We better be ready to do whatever it is that God wants us to do and say yes to it. That's the characteristic of a true worshiper. True worshiper, when God puts it on your heart, you make sure that you've got what he wants you to do and you run with it. But you know, you got to also be able to discern. Because I've took off running. God tells me to do it, I just go do it. But sometimes I didn't ask him, was this for now or later? Or whatever, and sometimes I've took off running with stuff that it wasn't time for yet, just because I was eager to do it. What are some hindrances to people worshiping? Well, I think the biggest one And a lot of people carry this stuff around. They say they've gotten over it, but they haven't. Guilt and condemnation. People carrying around that mess from where they were before they came to Christ. Said all the old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ. Well, what about that person that did that? That was me. Yep, that was Butch. But I'm not that person anymore. That person did that. But, and yes, that was me. But this person don't do that no more. That's a new person. It can be in the obituaries. That Butch died on the day he got saved. The new Butch was born on this day. It's that dramatic of what happens in our life. The part that we have is we've lived that much life and we've got that much history that everybody else knows about before then. And then the enemy tries to keep it on us. And then people that we knew in the past try to keep it on us. And then there's people that get jealous because they see that you're now being blessed and you're not living in the same misery that they're living in, and they don't appreciate the fact that, you know, you're all excited about the things of God and God's blessing you, and you know, it's like you've got to be doing something wrong. That's what Pastor Joel was talking about today. As a matter of fact, when he got done preaching, I'm like, next time I hear somebody talk about Joel Osteen in a negative way, because I hear it all the time, I'm going to get them in a headlock and give them a noogie for Jesus. Just kidding. But that's what I want to do. I mean, I don't even know the guy, but I love the guy because I think I know his heart. You know? And he was like, but you know, people will talk negative. He's a positive guy who gives a positive gospel, which is what the gospel is, good news. And people despise him, talk bad about him, and all that stuff because of that. But you know what he was saying was, do you know how much... See, I tell people, unless you know what I've sown to get what I've got, you ought to keep your mouth off of me. Well, you know, you ought to do that for Joel Osteen. Because what about the seed that John Osteen sowed for him for 40 years before he became that pastor? And what about the seed Dodie Osteen sowed for him before, you know, he became the pastor? And what about the seed that those people's parents, that John Osteen and Dodie's Osteens had sown before they got there? Let me tell you something. One of them's granny, I can't remember which one it was, his grandmother, they said that during the Depression, she was making 10 cents an hour to do some things for the church. She had sown that faith. Another grandparent had worked 35 years at the same job and never missed a day. He was faithful, and he sowed faithfulness. And then John Osteen had faithfulness, and then Joel had faithfulness, and he's out doing what God's told him to do. And then people look, they go, look at that big old church, that big old building. Who does he think he is? And, you know, he's got all the money he could want and stuff like that. Well, the blessing of God's on his life. He'll write a book. It becomes a bestseller. It doesn't matter what book he writes. If he touches it, it turns to gold. He had never had any intention of pastoring that church. He's a TV guy. He was the back scenes TV guy. Now, he had a brother that was a preaching machine. Everybody knew if something happened to John, that's going to be the pastor. But you know what? He didn't get the pastor. Joel got the pastor, and he didn't want it. He's like, Lord, you know I can't do that. I can't even hardly get up in front of people. But look how God's blessed his life. Right? And you know, people are jealous. He's got an awesome, growing, flourishing, thriving, flourishing church. People look at it and they go, well, he's got to be doing something wrong. He's fleecing the people, you know, because they've heard history of what other people did. Well, you know, there's a bunch of people besides preachers that's fleeced people before. You know, there's other con men out there that are under that name. A lot more of them than there are preachers out there doing that. And there's been a lot of godly men and women that have done without and have given everything they've got that have pure hearts that didn't do anything wrong. What about all them people? You don't hear much about them, do you? They're the ones that's there during the funerals. They're the ones that's at the hospital visiting. They're the ones that when the husband and wife's fist fighting in the front yard at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's going over there to counsel. Me, I think that's headlock noogie time, but for Jesus. Could y'all search it out and see if you could find it for me? If it ain't Bible, I'll have to quit preaching it. Never allow sin to stop you from meeting God. That old stuff that happened, if you've done something, admit it, quit it, move on. Don't worry about the past. Come before God. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. If there's something you're not doing right, then you know what? Just say, Lord, I know. I know what you're saying. I receive it, and I repent, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And I need your help, Lord. I need your help in this area because, you know, if this gets done, I've been trying for years. But if this gets done, it's going to be because you did it. It's going to be a testimony to you because I've tried and I can't do it. It's going to be you. But that guilt and that condemnation that you've carried along for all that time, man, that'll just hold you down to where you can't worship because you'll start to worship and then the enemy will start whispering in your ear, who do you think you are trying to worship? You know you got this mess in your life. You know you did that. You know you got... Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you could come to God? Well, it's just that old religious spirit and a lie from the enemy. I can come to God because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and I have a rightness and a right relationship with Him. And even if I don't know how to say it in King James or eloquent like a bunch of preachers that I've heard be able to say it before and all these people that are just lay people that they just beautifully know how to say everything. Well, you know what? God doesn't care about all that. God cares that I speak to Him right out of my heart. With whatever I've got in me, God didn't call me to be them eloquent people. God called me to be me. God called me to come before Him with my heart, not the heart and the lips of anybody else, but my heart and my lips. Your heart and your lips. And you know, and it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know, Pastor Callahan, we went out to dinner. And when we went out to dinner, Courtney and Brad were at the table. And Kim said something about praying for Brad about something. And you know, Pastor Callahan just turned his head. And he looked at Brad and he said, there's just something I want you to know. He goes, because, you know, he was talking to Brad about baseball and all that kind of stuff. And he looked at Brad and he says, you know what? That's the great thing about God. He goes, it doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. And I thought, man, if I got a nugget from a pastor today, there you go. I mean, I knew that, but it was just something for my pastor going around speaking that into people who are my family. You know, and the things that he spoke into this church family, right? And you know what? You need to know. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life out there. What matters is what God's doing now. You know, there's people that were abused when they were growing up. Well, you know what? Are you going to let that stop you from receiving the blessings of God for the rest of your life? Or are you going to believe God and believe that it doesn't matter what happened back then? What matters is what happens going forward. Why would you let the enemy keep that mess holding you down the rest of your life? Whatever it is, physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever it is, there's stuff that people would beat into you and beat into you or whatever. You know, whether it's verbally in your head or whether it's physically on your body or whether it was sexually or intimidation or whatever it was. You know, all that's gone. Because you know what? It's the beauty of His holiness. You know, the beauty of His holiness is that He thinks we're beautiful. That we're His child. That He loves us. And that He's made us a new creation in Christ. All those former things are passed away. We're not even that same person. And either that's true or it's not. And I'm telling you, it's true. But some people, you can preach it and you can preach it, but they just drag that mess all the way through their life for the rest of their life. Now, see, the unfortunate thing is I can't forget where I came from, right? I can't forget. I know where I came from. However, none of that matters anymore because I know where I'm going, right? And we can't allow that guilt and that condemnation to be a hindrance to us. I'm going to finish with that. We'll get on pride next week and wrongly formulated ideas that we have in our mind about who God is and who we are. That's important because there's a lot of people that can't be free in their worship and can't be free in their life because they're carrying that mess around. Amen? By the way, I do want you to know, I don't know where a lot of people are this morning, but I do know that Alex was leaving for Alabama today. Caden had a fever of 103, running around playing like a wild man, but he had a fever of 103. So she wasn't going to bring him around anybody that had a fever. Hand that out. Yes. Okay. I guess the enemy has attacked the body of Bo and the boys, that's why they weren't here today. Malika may be with family today. And stuff like that. So, I do want you to know, I know some stuff that's going on and that we've prayed for some of these. We'll pray for the ones that we've brought forth since we've been here. Anybody else have somebody that... Okay. Anybody else? What's her name?
Betty.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, everybody here is okay. Don't need no. All right. All right. We'll remember these people in prayer as we close. And anybody else got something going on that you need us to agree together with you in prayer that you see happen soon? Anybody? I know about Stevens. That's already done, man.